Notes. All right, I need a little help real quick. Archie, Kevin, Tom. Deal the cards. Can you help me? There comes Ryan. Ryan's going to help. I don't know what you're getting up for, but I know what I got you doing. Man, that is money. Those things didn't—they didn't give them away. All right, you already got an ink pen. Now I'm giving you something to write on. Now this is not for tic-tac-toe or passing notes or anything like that. Although it might be cheaper to pass out index cards and let you write notes on them than it is to use the offering envelope. So. Anybody, everybody got a card? All right. Here's what I want you to do with that card. I want you to take that card and I want you to spend a second or two and just think for a minute. If I had the opportunity, if I had an audience with God, and I could ask Him for one thing that would be granted. And I'm not trying to teach, you know, God is a genie. I'm just, bear with me. If you could ask God for one thing, family, I'm not even, whatever it is, riches, whatever it is, one thing, now write it on that card. You're not going to share it with anybody. You're not going to, unless you want to. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and read it out loud. This is your card. You can, I'm not going to take them up. Archie, I did. No exam on this. As Archie saw me do this earlier. No test. No trick. Not a trick question. I said, I'm not going to embarrass you and have you read yours. But if you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Now I'm watching you. Archie did this at the first service, and I think the boy wrote on both sides of the card. I don't know what he was. His one thing turned into a small book, but he. I said I wasn't going to embarrass you. I didn't say I wasn't going to embarrass Archie. I can't embarrass Archie. I tried. One thing, if you could ask God, put it on that card. Kind of interesting to stand here and watch. Some of you, boy, you went right to work. You had that figured out. Some of you could see you were puzzled on that a little bit. I hope, I don't know, I don't get, you know, there's all the time those jokes, there's been all kinds of jokes over the years about finding a genie and getting three wishes. And the first thing I'd ask for would be 10 more wishes. cover myself. You know, if you put on the card 10 more things, then that's not, everybody got it. Now, open your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians. You just stick that card aside. We're done with it for a little bit. We'll come back. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I hope when you were filling out that card, you were bold. I hope you were dreaming. I hope you were ambitious. I hope you wrote down what Dr. Jerry Falwell used to call your BHAG. Anybody here know what a BHAG is? B-H-A-G, BHAG. Dr. Falwell said, everybody ought to have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. I hope that's what you put on that card. I hope you put the most extravagant, luxury, whatever. You're great. I mean, that's what I ask you for. And again, I'm not going to check it. There's no A, B, there's a pass or fail. This is your card, your dream, your request, your one request before God. What would it be? And again, I hope that I really hope for the point of my message this morning, you went nuts. I hope you just went completely out there and just asked for the moon. Whatever you could think of, whatever you could dream of, I hope you put on that card, because I want you to see something Paul says at the end of chapter 3, kind of the what's been called a doxology, he finishes up a prayer. He kind of breaks out in kind of a song, again, a doxology to end up this chapter, and it's kind of a familiar statement that that he makes as he describes our great God. And as we look at that, I said we're done with that card for a moment, but I hope you'll kind of keep that thought in mind. What exactly did I ask for? And again, it's your card. If after a few minutes you've been thinking and you want to mark it out and you've dreamed a little bigger, you've come up with a bigger BHAG. You know, if you've come up with a bigger goal, a bigger dream, a bigger request, mark it out and start over. It's your card. If you want another card, raise your hand, and I'll send you another one. This is your card. But for your dream, for your request, whatever you could dream of, whatever you could ask of God. And I'm sure today that if we were to go around this room, and I'm not going to, I promise you, if I was to go around the room and say, tell us what is on your card, it would be a wild range of answers. There would probably be all kinds of things. There would probably be some who would who have asked for riches, who wanted to be who wanted their bills paid off and wanted to have a lot of money. There may be some who wanted something in their family, a family problem resolved, maybe a job, maybe a better job, maybe children, grandchildren that are making bad decisions that you would like for them to you'd like for God to step in and kind of point them back in a little better direction. Maybe it's your personal health of a friend. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's our nation. I'm sure it would be probably some of them. If we were to stand up and go around the room and read the cards, probably some would make us cry and some would make us laugh. There probably would be that big a range. Probably some would make us go, yeah, what? You know, you could ask for anything, and that's what you came up with. You want a cheeseburger for lunch? You know, it'd probably be a really wild range of ideas and requests that we. And that's good. Again, I hope. Again, my instructions were your whatever you could ask. You got one shot to ask of God. And when you think about that, I want you to see what Paul wrote. When Paul says in verse 20 of chapter 3, he says this, that whatever you ask or think, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above it. Whatever you wrote on that card doesn't even scratch the surface of the potential God has. Let that sink in for a moment. That no matter, and again, I'm for the purpose, you know, it'll make my message work a lot better if you put down something just crazy extravagant. If you put down something just wildly impossible, that in your power it is absolutely, you know, something that when you look at that card, you look at and you say, you know what, if this happens, I know it was God. Something when you look at your cards, you look at it and you go, you know what? If this comes about, it will be nothing short of a miracle. I hope you'll take these cards and maybe even date them and put them back in your Bible. And every now and then pull them out and say, you know what? On August the 14th of 2016, my pastor challenged me to write down my, you know, if you want to write BHAG, so you remember what BHAG is. My pastor challenged me to write down my most extravagant, my most wildest dream, my most ambitious request of God. And then you write down in the corner Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that whatever is on your card doesn't even come close to what God can do. I hope when you look at that card, you say, you know what? Man, this is my lifetime dream. If this happens, if my son, if my daughter, if my child, if my family, if this happens, I will know beyond any shadow of a doubt, God stepped in. I hope you didn't write down something that Tommy can do. I hope you didn't write down something that Kevin can do. I hope you wrote down something that in all honesty, if you stood up and read it, people in this room would go, oh, you know, I can't believe, you know, that's unreal, that's impossible. Because Paul says that our God is able to do. Y'all are looking at me like I'm making this stuff up. Is that not what Paul said? Paul said, now I want to be careful and point out something. Paul didn't say you were going to get what was on that card. Paul didn't say, I'm not telling you you're going to get more than what's on that card. What I'm telling you is that it's in the power of God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we don't really see it as much. You know, when Paul says they're exceeding abundantly above, some of those who know Greek much better than I do have wrote about this and commented on this and said, really, Paul was kind of exhausting the language. Paul was saying, you know, just amazingly super awesome, you know, Mary Poppins supercalifragilisticexpialidocious above anything that we can possibly dream. And when we dream our biggest dream, we haven't even began to touch the resources of our God. We haven't even began to scratch the surface of what God can do. I want to point out to you that God says in His Word, you know what He says? He says, I want you to have life. Doesn't He? Did He stop there? Go ahead, Tommy. I know you like that verse. What kind of life? Abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. Turn over one book from Ephesians into Philippians. You know what Paul says? Paul there writes that God wants you to have peace. Is that what he said? He wants you to have peace. But what kind of peace? That passes all understanding. Not just peace, but a peace that is so amazing. You go, wow, I don't even know where that peace came from. I hope you've experienced that. I hope that in a time of trouble and difficulty in your life, the peace of God has passed over you and come across you in such a way that you went, wow, I didn't even know. I don't know where that peace came from. I don't know where this calmness, I don't know where this joy came from in this time of trouble. I hope you're living a life that you look around and you say, man, I'm living a life I don't deserve. I'm living a life. Tommy over here, you know, you've heard Tommy say this all the time. I got it better than anybody else. I don't know why in the world after 20 years I can't remember. Nobody's got it as good as me. You know what? I hope everybody in here would argue with you. And say, no, you're wrong, Tommy. Nobody's got it as good as me. Because God says in His Word, I want you to have life and life abundant. I want you to have peace and peace that passes all understanding. Again, I'm not saying this morning that what you wrote down on this card is true. What I'm saying is that whatever your dream is, your God is so great and so big that your dream doesn't even scratch the surface of the power of our God. I want you to notice something that really stands out to me in that passage. He says here that we is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I think those two words, or think, are important. I don't know, but I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to speculate that some of you didn't believe me. Some of you thought it was a trick question. And what you wrote on your card, or maybe you didn't even write on your card, because you were a little afraid that lying rascal, he'll have me stand up and read my card. And I don't want to look foolish. Or maybe you thought that somebody sitting behind me is peeking over my shoulder and wanting to see what I wrote. And I don't want to look foolish. So I'm going to hedge my bet a little bit. I'm not going to write what I'm really thinking. You know, I'm not. Your children ever do that to you? Your children, you know, they'll kind of hedge their bet a little bit. They'll ask for something, but you know they really want more. Really? Let me send my children to y'all's house. Y'all looking at me. Again, y'all looking at me like I'm making stuff up this morning. Listen, he says, more than I ask or think. More than I ask or even dream. Some of you looked at that card. I could see standing here. Some of you looked at that card and it looked like there was something already wrote on it in Chinese because you was looking at it kind of funny. Some of you wrote and you were thinking, you know, I'm going to write this, but I'm, you know, I'd really, really, you know, what I really want in my heart is this. You know what Paul is saying? Paul says that my deepest dreams, I mean, if I could sit down and, you know, I don't know, if I give you a homework, I got how many cards and there's some more laying there. If I give Tommy all these cards and say, Tommy, fill up every one of them with all your wishes and your dreams, everything, here, I give you all of them. Get those two. Fill them up. Write down everything you can possibly dream of, everything you can think of. In fact, use front and back. Double up. Yeah. And you write down everything you can possibly think of or dream of for your family, for your grandchildren, for your job, for yourself, for your church, for strangers. Just right away. We'll get you some more ink pens. Do you see that Paul says when Tommy gets done filling up all these cards, God goes, is that all? You understand there's nothing today you can ask God for that strains the resources of heaven? You ever had your kids come to you? And I know I hate to break it to you, but it's only about 130-some days, I think it is, till Christmas. You know, your kids come to you sometimes, and dear, sweet David back there one time took the Sears and Roebuck Christmas catalog and a red magic marker and circled literally everything in the book. Everything. Stuff he didn't even know what was. He circled it. He wanted it all. You ever had your kids come up around Christmas or birthday and they ask for something and you look and think, you know, I'd love to, but there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can get them all that. There's no way that I can do that. Most of us as parents have been there and done that. But our Heavenly Father sits on the throne and never once have I went to Him and said, Lord, can you help me? And He went, no, I'm broke. Can't do it this time. You have to wait to payday. Exceedingly, abundantly above all that I can ask or think. What a great God we serve. What an amazing God we serve. Now, as we look at that, you begin to describe, and quite honestly, I'm flailing in the wind. I'm going to be honest with you. Paul couldn't describe it. Paul said, exceedingly abundantly above. Paul didn't know how to describe it either. I'm trying to describe what Paul didn't know how to describe, and I don't know how to describe what Paul didn't know how to describe. You know, it's an amazing thought when you begin to let it sink in that it is exceedingly abundantly. The word exceeding in that passage, the Greek word, is spelled transliterated as H-U-P-E-R, hooper. And you might imagine that's where we get our word hyper. And you know what hyper means, right? You ever seen a kid that was hyper? You ever seen a kid that you call them hyper, hyperactive? What does that mean? They're overactive. What do you? Any of you had a hyperactive thyroid? You know, when your thyroid goes out of whack, it's working too much. Paul says of God, He's hyper abundantly above anything you can dream of. Now again, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to happen. It may mean that God has a better plan. When He says He's exceedingly abundantly above whatever I could think or ask, that may mean that when I say, Lord, I need You to do this, and give you a great example, well, great example, but a bad example, one of those two-edged swords, we sometimes stand and we pray for someone's healing. We pray that God will heal them. And we stand in the hospital, pray for their healing, and pray that God will touch their body, and God takes them home. What has He done? In all honesty, He has exceeding abundantly above. No more pain, no more sorrow is what the Bible says. No more tears, no more death. He has went exceedingly abundantly above what they ever asked for. Wasn't the way we thought it would be done. I said, doesn't say that God is going to do it our way or our timing, but He says He has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above. The children of Israel spent all those years in Egypt begging and moaning and crying, Lord, get us out of Egypt. We just want out of here. They didn't know that God was going to intervene. He was going to speak through a bush that was burning but never consumed and send the plagues on to Egypt to cause Pharaoh's heart to be changed. Didn't know that when they marched out, they were going to march out with Egypt's money and jewelry and livestock. Didn't know that they were going to be led by a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day. Didn't know that they were going to get to the Red Sea and have it separated and walk on dry land. Didn't know that they were going to get water from a rock. Didn't know that they were going to get manna from heaven. Didn't know that they were going to walk around Jericho and the walls fall down. They didn't know all those things were going to happen. God went exceeding abundantly above. They just wanted out of Egypt. God says, I'm going to give you a land flowing of milk and honey. They also didn't know they were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
See, sometimes God doesn't do things the way we think He will. But He has the ability to go exceeding abundantly. Again, look at that word. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask. Whatever we dream, that's the potential. I want you to see not only the potential, but then notice this. This is really important. The power discussed. How's He going to do it? Look what He says. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now, let's take that last sentence part. To be honest, this whole passage hinges around those last two lines on the screen for you. According to the power that works in us. Well, who's us? That's the first thing. You know, you ever had anybody say, we are going to do something? You know, who's we? You must have a rat in your pocket. You know, who's we? Yeah. Well, who's us? Well, when Paul says us, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to believers. So the us is believers. Okay? Let's establish who us is. The us is the believer. Now, what power works in us? What power works in the believer? I don't have any power on my own. If I have any power, it comes from where? From God, who's in me, the Holy Spirit. And so, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever I think according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what is the major work the Holy Spirit has done in us, in the believer? We're talking about cleansing from all unrighteousness. You know, you stop and think about it. No matter what you wrote on your card, I know some of you can't follow directions. And I said, write the one thing that, some of you probably wrote three. You thought, well, I'm asking, I'm going for the gut. Good! Great, I hope you did. I hope you wrote front and back. Know this, that no matter what you wrote on that card, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever you think according to the power that works in us. What power works in us? The power of the Holy Spirit that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, cleanses us, seals us into the day of redemption. There is nothing I can ask for any greater than the cleansing from all my sin and being set free from the burden and the penalty of sin and knowing that I have the promise of a heavenly home. There is nothing any greater than that. And so how can I ask for anything? If God can do that, everything else is just nothing. Everything else is child's play to Him. According to the power that works in us. Not my power. Notice what it says. Not the power of us, but the power that works in us. Now I want you to notice something else in that passage. We know who us is. We know what the power is. But notice what he says. The power that works in us. An active power. You see that? Not just the power in us, but the power that works in us. Now, I don't know how it is where you live. But the way my house is and where I live, on the occasion, thunderstorms, ice storms, whatever, that the power goes off, on a fairly regular, if not almost always, basis, I'm in the dark, and I can look through the trees and see the light. I don't know that there's anything much more aggravating, and I realize this is selfish and wrong and ungodly and all those things you want to say about me. But there is, and maybe you're all holy and all that great. There ain't nothing aggravates me much worse than be standing on my front porch in the dark, my neighbor's got light. Now let's be honest, quite frankly, I care less about the light. Fat people like air conditioning. I don't mind the dark. I look better in the dark. Dark's good. Air conditioning is a necessity that's exceeding abundantly above anything I could have thought of. There's power right over there. What's the holdup, Duke? Some of you in Concord. What's the holdup, Duke? Get a drop cord, something. You know, run me some juice down here. See, I don't know about y'all, but it's getting a little better since the kids are grown. But you get cooped up in my house with a couple youngins and a wife and no electricity. Ooh, you sit around with your finger in the socket praying it'll come back on. Yes, Lord, turn it on for a second or two. It's, you know, it's tough. No cartoons, no air conditioning. Whew, it's ugly. You ever seen a power cord fall? You ever seen a power line, car hit a tree or hit a power pole, break a power line? That power line falls, what's it do? It's whipping all around. Sparks flying off of it. But it's not doing any work, is it? It's just flopping around. Power has got to be hooked up. It's got to be run in. Breaker's got to be flipped. Thing for the power to work. You see what he says in this passage? The power works in us. It's not just power floating around. You ever seen a fire hose get loose? Fire hose literally will beat somebody to death. Yeah. You get a big enough hose and it's turned loose, it flops around. It's like that power cord. It beat around, flop around. Won't put out a fire. It might look, it hit a little one. But for a fire hose to be effective, what happens? You got to put some personnel on that hose to point it where it needs to go. Paul says the Holy Spirit is working in us. His power is working in us. How's he going to do these exceeding abundantly of things? By the same power. I want to tell you something. I could go around this room this morning, and I could point to some people, and I could have them stand up, and some of you have heard their testimony. We could go around this room. I could have Tommy stand up. Tommy, you're my guinea pig today. Archie's off. I have Tommy stand up and say, Tommy, tell us your story. And Tommy could tell you about his life before Christ, and he could tell you about his life after Christ. He could tell you what kind of man he was or wasn't, depending on how you want to define it. He could tell you what Jesus Christ, what the Holy Spirit has done and is doing in him. And you'd say, you know what? That's a miracle-working God. I'm going to tell you, I like that old song. Some of you have heard it. It said, there's a miracle in me. There's a miracle in me. There's others in here that could tell your story and tell about where you were and who you were and what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And you have seen the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. You've seen it in others. I want to tell you something. That same, God's not out of power. He's not out of business. The power that works in us. The potential. The power. Then I want you to see this. Here's the dividing line. Here's where the rubber really hits the road. The purpose. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Why does God want to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Why does He want to see the power of the Holy Spirit work in us? So that we can look at Tommy and go, oh, look at Tommy. Boy, he's really cleaned up. He's done a lot better. Yeah. So we can look and say, boy, you ought to have known Pansy just a few years ago. No. What's He tell us? He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why? So that He gets the glory. I hope this morning you look at that card, and what you wrote on that card is so stinking outrageous. So BHAG, if you will, that when you look at it, and somewhere down the road, when God steps in and God answers it in however God chooses to answer, you and everybody else will have to go, that's God. That's God. That's God. I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it. We couldn't have done it. We all together couldn't have done it. We all together couldn't have put it together. We couldn't have planned this. We couldn't have thought this up, because it is exceeding abundantly above anything we even dreamed of. You ever had that happen in your life? I could probably have some people stand up this morning and share that testimony. That, you know what, I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew what I asked for. And then God stepped in. And I was like, wow. I had no idea. I'd have never thought to ask for that. I'd have never dreamed. This is beyond. You ever made that statement? Beyond my wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. You're not even scratching the surface of the power of God. This morning when you look at that card, I hope you'll look at it and know, this is my dream. But my God is bigger than my dream. I'm not preaching health and wealth this morning. I'm not telling you that you're going to get what's on that card. I'm not telling you that God is going to, you know, that God's going to take up the, you know, we're not going to take up the cards when church is over and mail them to heaven, and God's going to start, you know, stamping them off and saying approved, approved, approved. Yeah. What I'm telling you is, never doubt your God. Never, ever think, you know, I look around, I'm like you. And some of you are older than me. You've seen more than me. Every day I turn on the news, I'm a little dumbfounded, because every day I turn on the news, it seems like the world has got exceeding abundantly worse. Seems like, you know, there are things, you know, there are people that, you know, get on television and brag about doing things that once upon a time they wouldn't have done in the dark. Now they get on TV and tell the world. It seems like in every way possible, the world is going exceeding abundantly further and further and further from God. But you know what I know? That just as sure as the world's going that way, my God shall not be moved. He is exceeding abundantly able to do greater than I ask or I think. I don't know who's going to be elected in November. I don't know who's going to be put out, who's going to be put in. I don't even know if we're going to make it to November. I'd kind of wonder about that. I'd give you pretty good odds we wouldn't even make it to November. It wouldn't surprise me at any day for Jesus to return. But I know this, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. One of my favorite songs that's ever been written was I Can Only Imagine. You ever try to imagine heaven? You ever try to imagine what it looks like? You ever try to imagine what God has prepared for us? Do you know that whatever you imagine, God has done exceeding abundantly above? Think about it. Whatever you picture heaven to be, you're going to get there and go, wow, I never dreamed of this. This is way better than I thought. This is way more than I thought it would be. This is way prettier than... This is amazing. I never even begin to... This is beyond my wildest dreams. That's our God. That's our God. That's our God. This morning I want to ask you to bow your heads. And this morning, you've wrote something on that card. Maybe it's a family desire. Maybe it's a health desire. Maybe it is a financial or job question. Whatever the question is, whatever your desire, your God is able to go exceeding abundantly above whatever you dream. When you think about that goal, when you think about what you wrote on that card and how you imagine, in the best case scenario, God working it out, God says, I'm able to go exceeding abundantly beyond your wildest dream. This morning you want to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, you see what's... Maybe you want to bring your card with you. Say, Lord, you know what's on this card. You know what's on my heart. You know what's on my heart that I didn't even write down. I wrote the clean version. I wrote the version I was willing to let somebody see. But Lord, you know what my real heart's desire is. And God, this morning I...